Welcome back to Intelligent Investment Today, the podcast where we take you, the listener, deep into the world of value investment. As laid down by the father of the craft, the teacher and mentor to Warren Buffett, we're of course talking about Benjamin Graham. So far on our journey to uncover how the principles of value investment can be applied to beat the market over the long term, we have considered the vital idea of Mr. Market, as well as distinguishing the important difference between investment and speculation. In today's podcast, we visit yet another important idea laid down by Graham in his most famous books, The Intelligent Investor and Security Analysis. Today, we shall be considering the importance of thinking and acting like a business person when considering the sale or purchase of businesses listed on the stock market, and how approaching stock market investment with the right mindset can often be the difference between success and failure as an investor. So what exactly are we talking about here? We're talking about the importance of approaching stock ownership in the same way as a business person would approach ownership in an actual business he or she may be considering investing in. So let's go right ahead and dive into this interesting concept. Oftentimes, people can get caught up with stock market investing, and this leads them to forget or confuse what they are actually taking part in. If you were to own a few thousand dollars worth of Tesla stock, say, you may say that you're a shareholder in the business, but who would actually say that they are a part owner of Tesla? Not many, I suspect. But of course, if you own a single stock of any business, you are a de facto part owner of that business. This may on the surface seem to be a rather trivial distinction, but psychologically, considering oneself to be a shareholder rather than a part owner can have a number of unintended effects. It is strange but true that many business people who are normally hugely discerning about how their cash is spent in the businesses that they personally operate become quite careless and lackadaisical when it comes to their stock market portfolio. I put this difference down to the fact that whilst they see themselves as an owner of the businesses that they personally operate, they do not consider themselves as owners of the businesses in which they hold stocks. This is a great shame because if all stock market investors considered themselves to be what they are, part owners of the business in which they have invested, this would surely lead them to be more interested and concerned with the operations of that business. I'm not saying this would require them to regularly attend public board meetings, but taking even a basic interest in how their business operates, how it makes its money, how the business is performing, will surely allow for better informed investors who are better able to judge whether their ownership position should be maintained, increased, or indeed sold off. The idea of ownership and thinking like a business person is also highly relevant when it comes to making a decision on how much a business is worth and whether it should be purchased in the first instance. Far too often, a business person will invest in the stock market in a way that is completely at odds with how they would approach business decisions in normal life. Let's imagine that a businessman or woman operating a small local chain of grocery stores had been offered the opportunity to buy a rival store from a competitor. If the rival was to say they wanted $500,000 for the business, how likely would it be that that business person would just sign over a cheque there and then for the amount asked? Not very likely, you would think. They'd want to know a number of important things before they handed over even a cent. They'd want to know exactly what they're getting for the $500,000. What assets are they getting for their cash? How much the business premises is worth? What is the value of the stock included? What debts would the new owner be taking on? What profits or losses does the business make? They would also want to be sure that they understood the business enough to be able to place a valuation upon it. If, for instance, the seller was to claim the business comes with the patent for some revolutionary shelf stacking robot, if this was not within the prospective purchaser's scope of understanding, the business person would most likely not risk paying over the odds for it and decide not to purchase the business at all. This is all pretty obvious stuff to anyone, but for some unknown reason, when the same highly discerning business person comes to choose stocks for their portfolio, all this careful analysis goes out the window. So what if the business is valued at $100 billion? Not a problem, they say. Do I need to bother to understand what I'm getting for my money? Not at all, they say. What debts does the business have? It doesn't matter. What's that? The business has never made a profit? I don't care. Do I need to understand how the business might turn things around in the future and make money? Not on your nelly. And this is the way it goes. And most investors know that this is what they're doing. So what is making normally sane, bright and clever business people act so unprofessionally when it comes to making stock market selections? That's right, they are thinking of themselves as something other than part owners of the business. They're putting all their trust and faith in what is called the efficient markets hypothesis, which says that millions of investors buying and selling stocks must have access to all the available information on that stock and do a near perfect job of valuing the business. But of course, the problem is everyone else is also putting their blind faith in this hypothesis. How many of these people doing the actual buying and selling are acting like responsible business people and adding up what the enterprise is actually worth once all the froth is blown away? Not many, I posit. And that is why the majority of stocks trade at values completely at odds with what they're actually worth. The good news is the investor who does come to the party with their business person head firmly screwed on has on offer a whole range of mispriced businesses which they can take advantage of. The investor who can ask the same questions of Tesla or General Electric as they do of their local grocery store owner who is selling up shop will be able to make stock market purchases with the confidence they are getting their money's worth. The investor buying the stock at $100 or $300 or whatever is being asked without doing so much as an iota of due diligence into what that stock might actually be worth can have no confidence whatsoever in what direction that stock is heading. This gulf in investor confidence is massively important psychologically, because the negligent investor who is relying on the market to do their valuations has zero understanding of the business's true value. They will therefore quite logically panic if their stock plummets by, say, 30% over the course of just a few weeks. They will invariably sell out at a loss, because if the stock has lost 30%, who's to say it could not lose another 30%? Remember, they have no way of knowing if the stock is worth $10 or $1,000. The value investor, however, who has acted like a business person whilst purchasing the stock, can afford to be much more sanguine in their outlook should their stock's price tumble. Just like in the way the business person has placed a value on the local grocery store based on all the normal fundamentals of valuation, they know roughly what their stock is worth, so they can quite happily ascribe any wild price swings to the normal and expected vicissitudes of the market. They needn't panic and sell out of the business at precisely the wrong time, because they have confidence in their valuation and may even consider further investment at such knockdown prices, knowing that the market will return to sense soon enough. In summary, I hope you can now all see the importance of acting and thinking like an owner of the business in which you hold your stocks, rather than considering stock ownership simply as a means to an end. Always remember that as a holder of common stock, you are a de facto owner of that business, and you should do your best to be well acquainted with the financial situation of that business, exactly as you would be if you were considering the purchase of some private enterprise. This will allow you to arrive at an approximate valuation that you know will not be too far away from reality. Whilst it may be impossible to know a business run by others as well as you would some personally owned and operated enterprise, having a working knowledge of a listed business costs nothing. Remember, if a business is too far away from your circle of competence, that is one that cannot be easily understood, like the grocery store owner, pondering how much should be paid for the rights to the shelf-stacking robot, it is probably best to leave it to someone better qualified to make that call. There are, after all, plenty more fish in the sea. That's it for today's episode of Intelligent Investment Today. I hope it's been informative and has took you one step closer to investing like Warren Buffett. Please join us again soon for further insights into the world of value investment, as laid down by the father of the craft, Benjamin Graham. Please do consider subscribing if you haven't already done so, in order that you'll be informed as soon as future episodes land on your platform. I'm David Coombs, and until next time, happy investing.